This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A new law is set to go into effect in Vermont this summer that requires the labeling of all genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. It's the first state in the country to do so. That change is likely to have effects nationwide. George Franklin is the president and founder of Franklin Public Affairs. Before that, he spent 30 years with Kellogg. And Franklin is also a former Western Michigan University trustee and the author of Cereal Wars, 30 Years of Lobbying for the Most Famous Tiger in the World. George Franklin, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Gordon, thank you for having me. And I'd like to begin by emphasizing to your listeners, I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm not lobbying on either side. I'm not actively involved. But given my background and interest in government affairs, I'm hopefully attuned to it and have been following this issue closely for a couple years now, really.
Okay, so you've been following it closely. What can you tell us about why it is that one law in a state, and admittedly a pretty small state, Vermont, might mean changes nationwide?
Well, it's actually interesting, and I call it a combustible confluence of substance, process, and politics. And by the substance, as you mentioned, on July the 1st, a few weeks from now, a Vermont law requiring GMO labeling goes into effect, which could determine how 60 to 70% of the products in a grocery store are labeled around the country. The process part of it is you have a state with 600,000 people. Michigan has 10 million, to give you a reference point, which as a practical matter is going to determine the national food labeling policy, even in states that have already rejected GMO labeling. There's four states. It's Colorado, Oregon, California, and one other, Washington, that have in some form or fashion have already rejected GMO labeling.
This is where it was on the ballot and the voters rejected it.
That's 55 million people in those four states. But as a practical matter, because of the complexity of our food chain, our food supply system, the 600,000 people in Vermont are going to determine this national policy. So that's the process part. And then the politics of it are fascinating. If this political year isn't crazy enough, this is the world upside down. You have most people regard Republicans as conservatives, which connotes states' rights, that they should be in favor of states' rights. Most people think of Democrats as liberals, which implies more federal authority and less states' rights. The exact opposite is true on this issue. The Republicans favor federal preemption. And in fact, just a couple weeks ago, the House passed, basically on party line votes, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act. The vote was 275 to 150, basically along party lines. There were 45 Democrats, I think, that went over to the other side. But this act would preempt Vermont.
So and any other state that wants to pass
state.
Anything
yeah,
like
it. It makes it voluntary is what it boils down to when you cut through it all. It would make GMO labeling voluntary.
For companies.
For companies. So politically, the Republicans are the liberals and the Democrats are the conservatives. So once again, upside down, topsy-turvy political year.
Is it the fact that the Vermont law would have nationwide effects, is that because companies don't want to spend the time and effort to label things differently that are going to Vermont as opposed to things which are going to Michigan, Ohio, et cetera?
It is so much more complex than just the label. And the issue gets to be in sourcing ingredients. Where do you source the ingredients? Are they GMO or non-GMO? The supply chain. The distribution. The other thing is big food companies and little food companies that provide product to national chains. The national chains aren't going to want to have to differentiate between what goes to Vermont and what doesn't go to Vermont. And they're going to pass it back to the food companies and say, that's your problem. You give us product that we can put into our supply chain that we can service all our stores around the country. So one Senate aide actually told me one time, they said, well, you know, why don't you just not sell to Vermont? There's only 600,000 people. That leaves you 300-some million more out there. And once again, it's just not that simple. It's a much more complex food system than that, and a distribution system that just doesn't allow that to be as cavalier on Vermont as people might think.
Somebody in the side which is supporting this measure in Vermont, or have supported one of the other ballot measures that went on the states and, you know, on the ballot in California, et cetera, may say, look, all we're asking here is to know that GMOs are in there. What's wrong with simply knowing? We're not telling them they can't put them in. We're not telling them they got to alter anything in there.
Right.
We're just saying to the company, if you put GMOs in the food, we want to know what's there. And what might be the answer to that?
The answer would be that it becomes misleading. It's implying there's something about GMO ingredients that is materially different than non-GMO ingredients, which the vast majority of scientists do not agree with. The Food and Drug Administration does not agree with. And the food manufacturers are concerned that they're going to be seen as creating the word people use is Frankenfood, right? There's something wrong with it. Why is it labeled? Why is genetic engineering on this label? Why is that being brought to my attention? Well, it implies there's something different about it. And the reality is, according to most scientists, now obviously there's some scientists who would disagree, that GMO corn is not materially different than non-GMO corn. And to lead people to believe otherwise is misleading.
So if this law does go ahead and go into effect, what is that going to mean for companies? Do they at some point say it is going to actually change the food that we eat, or is it just simply a matter of changing the labels?
Well, some big companies already announced they're going to start labeling and have just sort of bite the bullet and we're going to do it. What it then forces them to do, and especially us being in Michigan, is the sugar beet boys are going to get hit pretty hard, because they don't have the luxury of being able to quickly go non-GMO. And there's already a lot of companies that are talking about we're going to have to switch to cane because we can get cane non-GMO as opposed to beet. The prominent corn, soybeans, sugar beets, potatoes are sort of the big products that are GMO. So the suppliers of those products are going to get hit, because the companies are going to have to go elsewhere, and the companies are going to probably have to pay some more, because those other suppliers, those alternative suppliers, they got some leverage. It's supply and demand.
Have the states moved in here in part because the Food and Drug Administration has, to this point, only offered guidance on the labeling of genetically modified foods? I mean, is there something of a vacuum there?
Yeah.
Because there are not especially solid federal regulations.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that the FDA, once again, doesn't see a material difference in any reason to highlight GMO versus non-GMO. That's why they haven't acted. In fairness to the consumer groups, back to what you said, they saw an opportunity in Vermont. They believe there's just a fundamental right to know. They believe there's an inherent problem with having ingredients that are genetically modified, and they want to bring people's attention to it. So the lack of action by the FDA does create an opening, but the reason they didn't act was they saw no need to. So that hence created an opportunity in Vermont.
You have not been working for Kellogg for a while now, so
right.
You're not necessarily in the nitty-gritty here of what's happening, but you're someone who has watched legislation go through all of the tributaries and
the sausage
being made. You've seen plenty of it being made,
and
I'm sure you could tell us why we don't want to watch it being made. So if you had—
That needs to be labeled.
There we go.
That process.
There we
label.
Go. So, but if you had to make your best guess as we sit here and talk in May about what's going to happen before July 1st, when this law is supposed to go into effect in Vermont, what do you think is going to happen?
I think a deal will be reached at the federal level. And I think a couple reasons. One, the practicalities of it. You have Senator Pat Roberts, who's the chair of the committee, and our own Senator Debbie Stabenow, who's the ranking Democrat, her right now in negotiations and offers are going back and forth. Senator Stabenow was able to get a bipartisan farm bill through the last Congress, which was a major piece of legislation and practically the only major piece that got through, much less bipartisan. And she's a skilled legislator. So is the chairman. And the practical implications of this are significant. I mentioned that there are other states have already rejected GMO labeling. But the other problem is down the road, if some state decides to tweak Vermont, they say, well, we kind of like the way Vermont did it, but we really want to do it this way. So Rhode Island or North Dakota or whatever, they go off on their own path. Well, once you go down this road, you're going to have this patchwork of labeling and regulations and requirements that are just going to be insurmountable for food companies. And I think the legislators at the federal level, I think that's why the Republicans, you know, you talk about them not being for states' rights in this issue. It's the practical reality of what we have here. We have the greatest food system in the world. And part of it is because we do have a uniform system. We do have a national system. And once you start going down this road, you got problems. And I think between the skill of the two principals in the Senate and the practical realities of where this can go, I think the Congress will finally, hopefully, get something done.
And there's some sort of a compromise that you see here where there would be some sort of an olive branch for the people who want labeling for GMOs.
Yeah, yeah. And there's what people are talking about, smart labels, where you could, you know, use your phone and look on the code, and then it goes to a site that tells you all these different things you need to know. That's just one example. But yeah, there's offers flying back and forth, and there'll be the normal give and take. That's what it's all about. If I could digress again for a second, these politicians that go to Washington, guns blazing, my way or the highway. Well, there's 535 people from all sorts of walks of life that are gathered there together, many of which have nothing in common at all. And you have to compromise.
George Franklin, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
George Franklin is a former Kellogg executive. He's also the author of Cereal Wars, 30 Years of Lobbying for the Most Famous Tiger in the World, and he's now the president and founder of Franklin Public Affairs. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.